Think of all the possibilities that an RV brings. Hi there, folks. Cher Lichtman here, Mike Thompson RV in Cathedral City. We sell all of the top RV brands in the country, and we pride ourselves on finding you the RV of your dreams. Imagine being out there in the campgrounds and on the open road in a safe, affordable RV from Mike Thompson RV in Cathedral City. Come let us show you the meaning of customer delight. Visit us at 68318 Palm Canyon Drive in Cathedral City or call us at 760-324-3651.
It's our golden anniversary. Eisenhower Health is celebrating 50 years with this wonderful community. From the day we opened our medical center back in 1971, we've done all we can to keep our relationship meaningful. We've created a valley-wide network of primary and specialty care clinics, recruited exceptional physicians and staff, invested in advanced technologies, and worked to meet your changing healthcare needs, from developing our renowned robotic surgery program to providing specialty care for the LGBTQ community. We expanded our cancer program to provide advanced services through our affiliation with UC San Diego Health. We became an accredited teaching hospital to attract talented new physicians to the area. And we continue to earn certifications, awards, and high rankings for quality and safety. So here's to us, to you, and to the next 50 years. Learn more at EisenhowerHealth.org.
If you can't get in to see your doctor as soon as you'd like, Desert Oasis Healthcare has you covered with four conveniently located immediate care clinics. Your health and well-being is our top priority. We follow all CDC guidelines for safety. Desert Oasis Healthcare members can call our patient helpline 24/7 at 760-969-6555. Find out why we say your health, your life, our passion.
From the Joey English Show, here is this hour's mystery song.
Okay, Joey pals, because Jersey Boys is coming to the McCallum the 25th, 26th, and 27th. Nigel put together mystery songs from Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Let's listen.
To be true, can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive.
That's the title. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, thanks, Nigel. Okay, Joey pals, we return you now to our regularly scheduled programming, and we're into our second segment about the career of James Gypsy Hawk. How'd you get the name Gypsy?
Chorus dancers. Chorus dancers on Broadway. Boys and girls that are in the chorus are called gypsies because they go from one show to another. They audition from show to show to show. And that's how the dancers, the singers do not. They don't have that. It's only the dancers. So by that time, I was already working for the Gorham Dancers.
And you were earning a living?
I was on earning a living. But my wife and I broke up after she had a child. And then it was a big scandal in my family because they were unhappy about my career. And I didn't have a career. I was just starting. Mm-hmm. But they didn't like the travel, and I had a child. So, but that all comes later. My personal life is nobody cares anymore. But it was interesting because the first show that I had any vision with was Wish You Were Here in 1952 with Jack Cassidy.
Sure.
And, you know, Florence Henderson got her start in that show. She was 18, or she was a couple years younger than me. So she was probably 18 or 19.
Gosh.
And her voice was so good, they took her out of the chorus and gave her the lead song, and that's how her career started. And so I did a time with that chorus, and then on the road with that show, with that Broadway show. So I did all of that kind of thing. But I was with the Gorham Dancers most of the career of my dancing, because I danced until I was 38. 38, yeah.
Okay, so what year was it now?
Well, now we're getting up to the 60s, okay. You know. And
so now, because you and I met at the end of the 60s, early 70s in New York. How did you get the club Gypsies?
Well, because I had started to do some work in a cabaret, and I just sort of off the top of my head would do little shows and carry on with the audience. And somebody came in there. They wanted to open a club on the East Side, a cabaret. This is before we had disco and before Studio 54 and all of that. Uh-huh. So they were in a small bar called the Painted Pony on the East Side. And there I was, and with Waylon Flowers before he ever...
Oh, and Madam.
Yeah, before they ever got work. Yeah, Madam would sit on the bar there, and I would get a mop from the back and put it on my head, and we would do Twin Sisters.
Waylon Flowers and Madam Joey Pals. Madam was a puppet, a dummy. It was a fabulous act. I used to visit with him all the time.
And she looked just like me.
Long nose and ugly. Madam did. You're right.
That's why I put the mop on my head, and we would do... This is before he ever became famous, because he did all the clubs in New York first. And then, so the owner of this place had just taken over a club where somebody couldn't continue on. And they had this idea to turn a big club into a cabaret. Okay. And that's how I was 38 and had stopped dancing. I danced all those years, all for the Gorham Dancers, all over the world. And so Gypsies opened. And there I was, not quite 40. And it turned into a big, big deal in New York. In those
First and 58th.
First and 58th by the 59th Street Bridge. And it was during that era that we met.
Yes.
That I met Joey English, who was starring with... Rodney Dangerfield at his club, which is down...
First and 61st.
61st. I'm first and 58th. And, yeah, I went there with Eileen Ford, the head of the Ford Agency, and Nina Blanchard. Yeah, in the 71, I think.
I think it was 71 we met.
Yeah. So
now, how long did you have Gypsies?
Until 78. And then disco came in, Studio 54... And people were not going to cabarets. See, in my club, all the bartenders had their own microphones and their own spotlights. And they would sing. We had a house pianist.
So ahead of its time.
Yes. Yes. So it was amazing era. But I made a lot of money because my name was on the spotlights, on the marquee, and big, big lights, bulb lights on that whole corner. Gypsies, and so I didn't own it. I did everything. I ran it. I had a manager and all of that, and it became very well known. And Cheetah Rivera would break in some songs with Fred Ebb and John Cantor, and the opera stars would come in. Leontine Price came in, and Hedy Lamarr I met there. She was living with her mother. She came in with Paulette Goddard. And both of their mothers lived on 57th Street in big condos. And amazing people that I met. And then I retired. They were closing the club because disco was in. You know, it was all that big hoopla. So I decided to retire to Southern California. I had friends there that I met over the years of touring. So I wasn't 50 yet. I was 48 or 49. And I went there. And then Vivian Blaine, whom I knew for many years.
A poison.
Could develop like drip.
La post-nasal drip.
Well, she had a penthouse on Beekman Terrace in Beekman Hills.
Yes.
And she was a great cook. And so I would have dinners with her there. Well, she was coming back to Hollywood to make a pilot for Norman Lear called The Good Life, which never went. They did the pilot, and it just so happened at that time that this nightclub was being put together, a restaurant and show, drag show, based on Le Cajefal from the film, from Paris, with Ugo Tognazzi and Michel Sardou. And this guy from New York actually got permission to have the name only for that location in West Hollywood on La Cienega Boulevard.
And the rest, as they say,
is history. Because I went to the opening night. That's how I met Connie Stevens, because Vivian Blaine, of course, was on the big VIP list, and the heads of studios couldn't get in. And she said, I have a friend that doesn't have a date, so I want you to be there. Put on your tuxedo. We're going to this opening. Well, what happened was my date was Connie Stevens. And that's how we got to know each other. And so I was sitting there with them when all of a sudden the owner came out and said, I'm sorry, tonight we don't have a star. We don't have a star for the opening night, but we will tomorrow because we're auditioning some people. And with that, Vivian Blaine stood up, and of course the audience clapped. And she said, you don't have to audition anybody anymore. Gypsy from Gypsies in New York is in the audience, and don't worry about it. He'll start tomorrow night. And I said, Vivian, are you crazy? So then Lou came over, the owner, and he said, you're going to have gowns. And I said, oh, I don't wear gowns. I don't wear. And she said, Vivian Blaine said, yes. The next morning, we were at Saks Fifth Avenue in Beverly Hills. She bought me 12 gowns. She bought me 10 shoes and makeup. She called up Agnes Moorhead's best friend and said, if Gypsy does that face from Bewitched. So Agnes said, yes. So that's how I did it, with the blue and the thing.
Now you and I were hanging out at the Polo Lounge.
By then, we were doing a couple of years later, because I was already. So the show opened. The next night I opened and just did it off the top, and the rest is history.
How long did Le Cajefal run in West Hollywood?
11 years. But what happened was, what a lot of it made famous was that we had people from all over. Lana Turner started coming in regularly with a table. Lucille Ball had her own table up front. And then Mel Brooks came in with his wife Ann Bancroft and signed me to my first film, To Be or Not to Be, and I co-starred with them. And from there, I just went on to film, to film, to film, and television shows.
Name some of the television shows.
Dynasty. I played Uncle Otto on Married with Children. You saw me on Full House. You saw me on Max Headroom.
Yeah.
Lots of goody shows. Lots of, about 102 of them.
I remember when we had your star dedication here in Palm Springs, and Mel Brooks sent that.
Yeah, my lovely video, yeah. And, of course, Connie Stevens was here herself.
Yes. Oh, everybody was at that.
Yes, and, yeah. So, you know, our girlfriend also from there. So it's been an amazing ride, you know.
We're visiting with James Gypsy Hawk. We spent the first segment talking about where he was born and where he grew up. And now we're finishing up the second segment, I can't talk, about his wonderful career. And he's gone from Broadway and a club in New York called Gypsies to Los Angeles and a show called La Cajefal. And now he's into movies and television. When we come back from the treasure chest, we'll talk about Dan Gore and Tahoe and his appearances here in Palm Springs. And all of a sudden, he's 90 years old. But if you're near your phones, I've got presents for you.